قال لي قلت ترى
ما صلى على الله
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان اللعين الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله الذي ليس لأوليته ابتداء ولا لأزليته انقضاء وانحسرت الأوصاف عن كنه معرفته ورضعت عظمته العقول والذي لا تواري عنه سماء سماء ولا أرض أرضا ثم الصلاة والسلام والتحية والإكرام على سيد البطحاء سيد المرسلين والأنبياء أبي القاسم محمد المصطفى
اللهم صل على محمد
وعلى الجوهرة القدسية البتول العذراء سيدة النساء فاطمة الزهراء وعلى بعلها أمير المؤمنين وبنيها الذين أذهب الله عنهم الرجس وطهرهم تطهيرا
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد
لا سيما على بقية الله وحجته الكبرى الذي بيمنه رزق الورى وبوجوده ثبتت الأرض والسماء ولولاه لصاحت الأرض بأهلها واللعنة الدائمة على أعدائهم أجمعين من حين عداوتهم إلى قيام يوم الدين أما بعد فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى في كتابه الكريم ونريد أن نمن على الذين استضعفوا في الأرض ونجعلهم أئمة ونجعلهم الوارثين وقال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم المهدي طاووس أهل الجنة صلوات
اللهم صل على
Tonight, I would like to talk a bit about the Imam of our time, Al-Hujjat ibn al-Hasan, Waliyul Asr, Baqiyatullah al-A'zam, Arwahul Alameen, Liturabi Maqdamih al-Fida.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
It is a fariḍah on the neck of the believers to always remember the Imam of our time in all situations of our life and to serve throughout our life the walayat and the concept of imamat of the Imam of our time. On the Day of Judgment, there is no question about that we will be resurrected. Those who belong to the imamat of the Imam will be resurrected under the leadership of the Imam. يَوْمَ نَدْعُو كُلَّ أُنَاسٍ بِإِمَامِهِمْ So we learn in the light of the verse that the Day of Judgment is the day when every group of people will be resurrected alongside under the imamat of the imam of their time. So it will be pathetic for a mu'min living in the time of Waliyul Asr, Sahibul Asr, Wal Zaman.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa
and not remember the Imam, and not turn towards the Imam. Whereas we find that the Imam of our time always remembers us and prays for us and helps the mu'mineen in their hawa'ij, in their needs. In the story of Ayatullah al-Uzma, Sayyid Abul Hasan al-Isfahani, rahmatullahi alayh, this very great marji of ours who used to live in Najaf. And he was in his, obviously the great personalities, all of them have ta'eed and assistance from the Imam. Definitely it's true. Because no one can reach any higher spiritual level without the ta'eedun ghaybi, the assistance from the unseeable world, the ma'navi and metaphysical blessings that they receive from the Imam, and the metaphysical blessings and tasdeed and assistance that they receive from Ruhul Qudus. Ruhul Qudus is that angel of Allah since the time he is created. He was sent down on the planet Earth. And since he came to the planet Earth, he never returned back to the heavens. And the job of Ruhul Qudus is Tasdeedul Walaya. That means assisting those people who support the walayat of Ahlul Bayt alayhimus salam. So if you take a step forward in support of the imamat and walayat of the imam of your time, you must understand that you are under the assistance of Ruhul Qudus. Just like Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Had said to Hassan bin Thabit. Hassan bin Thabit is a very famous Arabic poet, and when the Prophet delivered his most famous sermon of his life, Khutbatul Ghadir, in the burning sands of the desert of a location called Ghadir of Qom, that's where, after the sermon of the Holy Prophet, Hassan bin Thabit, Faqama Hassan, he stood up from the gathering, 120,000 ashab, standing in front of the Prophet. So he stood up in the gathering and he said, "I'dhan li ya Rasulullah an aqula fi aliyin abiyatan tasma'uhunna." Permit me, the Messenger of Allah, allow me to say poetry for Ali that you would hear. In those days, the Arabs, most of them, or a lot of them, were poets. You know, nowadays, you find very few who are poets in our communities. But in old days, a huge number of people were poets. And they were at the peak of their balaghat and their eloquence of the language. Isn't it right? When the Prophet used to recite Quran, sitting in this horseshoe-shaped thing that we call near the Holy Kaaba, which we call Hijr of Ismail, the cradle of Ismail alayhi salam. Prophet used to sit there and recite Quran regularly. And the mushrikeen, when they used to come and rotate around Kaaba, because they had their own idols sitting inside the Kaaba as well, isn't it right? They used to put their hands like this while doing the tawaf of Kaaba, so they don't end up hearing the verses. Shaheed Mutahhari rahmatullah alayhi says that several mushrikeen became Muslims just by hearing the recitation of the Holy Quran. Who can become a Muslim by listening to the recitation? Someone who can understand what Allah is talking about. Isn't it right? So they had the balaghat, they had the knowledge of Arabic sciences. That's why they understood what Allah is saying, despite the fact they were mushriks. But they were at the peak of Arabic balaghat and, you know, and the knowledge of Arabic grammar. And the poetry of those poets, including Mutanabbi, you know, who claimed, later on he claimed to be a prophet, including Mutanabbi's poetry is being taught in the biggest houses of Islam today, like Qum and Najaf and Isfahan and elsewhere. They still teach the poetry of the mushrik poets of the time of Jahiliyyat. Because you rarely find a poetry in Arabic language which is so high in its balaghat and eloquence as compared to the poetry of those shu'ara. Obviously there are other big shu'ara as well, but they are less. So Imam Sahib al-Zaman alayhi salatu wa salam, being the Imam of our time, it's our responsibility to remember the Imam at all times. And every great personality of our history reached the levels of spirituality because they received the ta'yid and tasdeed. And the same tasdeed which I was mentioning to you, same assistance was what was mentioned by the Holy Prophet when Hassan stood up in the gathering after Prophet delivered the largest sermon of his life, the khutbah and sermon of Ghadir. Hassan stood up and said, I want to say some poetry for Imam Ali that you would listen if you allow me. And he said his poetry, and that's where at the end of his poetry, Prophet said to him, La zilta mu'ayyidan bi ruhil qudus ma zababta anna ahlal bayt. You would continue to be assisted by ruhul qudus as long as you defend us, the ahlal bayt. Please say salawat.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad.
So Ruhul Qudus is there to assist all those who are supporting the walayat of Ahlul Bayt alayhim as-salam. So these personalities who reach certain spiritual levels are always assisted because they are in the front line of supporting the imamat and walayat of the imam of our time. So Ayatullah al-Uzma Sayyid Abul Hasan Isfahani, coming back to the point, is one of the great maraji of ours. When he was a young student in the madrasa, at that time, he fell sick, and his father didn't want him to be in that situation, and he came to finally take him out of the madrasa back to his place. And this is the story. The story says that at that occasion, Sayyid Abul Hasan Isfahani did tawassul with Imam Sahib al-Zaman alayhi salam. He went in a corner and he said his salam to the Imam, you know, with his ikhlas and sincerity. And he was seeking help from the Imam. Whenever we call the Imam of our time, you know, it happened actually. Some of the occasion we find in some scholars went into the haram in Najaf. They went into the haram of Imam Ali alayhi salam, and they called upon Imam Ali alayhi salam. And Imam, according to those reports and akhbar, Imam Ali redirected them towards the Imam of their time. So we are supposed to turn towards the Imam of our time. There's nothing wrong to turn towards any Imam, but we have our living Imam present. Why don't we turn towards him? He is the waris and inheritor of Amir Mumin alayhi salam as well. Isn't it right? Unfortunately, his remembrance has been decreased a lot in the communities, generally speaking, which is very bad. It's very bad. أكثر الدعاء بتعجيل الفرج فإن ذلك فرجكم. The Tawqi al-Mubarak says, do a lot of dua for hastening of the faraj. Faraj means opening. Opening of the walayat of Ahlul Bayt. Walayat means hukumat and government of Ahlul Bayt. That means the concept of governance of Ahlul Bayt. Do a lot of du'as for Imam Sahib al-Zaman about the appearance of Imam. When he appears, the hukumat and government of Ahlul Bayt is going to be established on the whole planet. do a lot of dua for the faraj. We say, ajjil fi faraje maulana. What does it mean? We are asking Allah to hasten the opening, the time of the opening. Time of the opening is a metaphor that we use for the establishment of the government of Ahlul Bayt, the government of divine justice on the whole world. So every now and then we are supposed to do that dua. Isn't that shameful? I would use the word shameful. Isn't that shameful for a believer who is asked by the Imam himself to keep on praying every now and then about the establishment of the government of Ahlul Bayt, but we put a ban on those ulama in our marakis and masajid and Husainiyya? Isn't it right? They talk about the political duties towards the Imam of the time. How would the government of Imam be established? By sitting in a corner? Is that the kind of Imam that we believe in? These people don't understand the very sentence, Allahumma ajjil fi faraj maulana sahib. They don't even understand that much. If they understand, your actions speak louder. Isn't it right? Your policies of your life would reveal that you are waiting for muntazir for what? Muntazir for what? You're waiting for what? Waiting for the Amr of Allah. Means the walayat of Ahlul Bayt. Establishment of Al-Adalatul Ijtima'iyya Al-Ilahiyya. The divine concept, the divine social justice phenomena. The divine government being established in the world. This is what we are waiting for. What else? Isn't it right? So we are waiting for the government. We are waiting for the hukumat. You're waiting for Imam alayhi salam to become the ruler, but we don't allow any of the fara'id related to the hukumat of in Islam to be mentioned from our member. MashaAllah, qurban jayein is deen fahmi ke upar. How nice is the understanding of some people about the religion of Ahlul Bayt. It's shameful, definitely it's shameful. Isn't it right? So, siyasatuna like Ayatullah Kashani, rahmatullah, his famous sentence, siyasatuna deenun wa deenuna siyasa. Siyasatema aine diyanatema ast wa diyanatema aine siyasatema in Farsi. Obviously, like I said earlier in one of my majalis, that 99% of our mujtahideen were from Iran and are still from Iran. Isn't it right? So obviously their books, their statements are, most of them is in Farsi. And among the 1%, the second majority is from Lebanon. So we find in the history, that Imam al-Khumayni Ridwanullah alayh says in his Tahrirul Wasila, in his book of fatwa, that فَمَنْ زَعَمَ النَّدِينِ, after mentioning the fara'is and duties of Imam al-Jumu'ah, he's supposed to say this and this and this and this and this in his second sermon. Second sermon is political in Islam. You like it or not, that's the way Islam is. Saddam la'natullah alayhi had that much sense. Saddam la'natullah alayhi had that much sense that second sermon of Salatul Jumu'ah is political in Islam. That's why he put a ban in Iraq. Because if you allow, ulama will talk against his government. Well, let's put a ban. So let's not allow anyone to lead Salatul Jumu'ah. So Saddam can understand the Salatul Jum'ah, the Khutbatun Saniya, the second sermon is political in Islam. That we don't understand. We still don't understand. Isn't it right? Our actions speak louder. That's why so many of the believers even today are going to those of the masajid, generally speaking, in the Islamic Ummah, where they never talk about the political duties of the Islam of Ahlul Bayt, as if that's not part of Islam. This is why Imam is in ghaibat. This is one of the major reasons why he is in the ghaibat. Because we consider our 12 Imams to be religious leaders only, not our rulers. That's why Banu Umayyah ruled over us. That's why Banu Abbas ruled over us. Because people were either supporting and doing the bay'at of Banu Umayyah, oath of allegiance towards them, or sakit, which is also our support. Isn't it right? So this is why Imams became shaheed, because we were not supporting them. And this is the same situation. 12th one is forced to stay in ghaibat because people consider him to be a religious leader, not a political leader. So we are muntazir. Muntazir for what? Muntazir for the government of the Imam, isn't it right? But we put a ban on those ulama who talk about Yawm al-Quds. So this is what we call shameful behavior. So we find that Ayatollah al-Uzma Abu al-Hasan Isfahani, he did his tawassul towards the Imam, and Imam is always near, you know. And in Allah qareebun min al-muhsinin, Quran says Allah is close towards the good doers. And Imam Sahib Zaman is the madhar and most perfect reflection of every single name and every single attribute of Allah, isn't it right? So we say that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, look at the hadith of the Imam himself when he says in his statement, in his letter, Imam alayhi salam wrote, Inna rahmata rabbikum wasi'at kulla shay. The rahmat, the mercy of your Lord engulfs everything. Wa ana tilka rahma, and I am that rahmat. I am that mercy. The mercy of your Lord engulfs everything, and I am that mercy. What else is the mercy of Allah? You expect mercy of Allah to come in your life, but if we have no connection towards the Imam and we are not taking any steps towards his imamat and walayat and strengthening his mission, what mercy do we expect from Allah? He's the mercy of Allah. Wa ana rahmatu rabbikum wa ana tilka rahma. I am that rahmat and mercy. And the picture of Imam has been portrayed by some people as someone who is really always angry, or is going to just kill the people and that's it. This is unfair. It's unfair to portray the Imam from one aspect only. We are supposed to portray the Imam, you know, comprehensively, properly, completely, because he is the mother of every name of Allah, not just one name of Qahr or Ghadab of Allah only. This is unfair. So when you find there are people who are doing tawassul, he comes and helps. And he comes at the door of Sayyid Abu al-Hasan al-Isfahani, rahmatullah alayh, and he opens the door, he finds there's a Sayyid standing, Jalilul Qadr, a majestic personality standing right there. The narration says, Asmarul Lawn. The color of the Imam is wheatish. Isn't it right? And Aqnal Anf, a pointed nose. Ajlal Jabha, a wide forehead. Ala Khaddihil Ayman Khalun, there's a mole on his right cheek. So this is about the description of the face of the Imam, isn't it right? Which is the most resembling human Allah created with towards the Holy Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Imam Al Hasan Al Mujtaba alayhi salam was also resembling, isn't it right? He used to resemble Rasulullah more. And Imam Hussein used to resemble Ali ibn Abi Talib alayhi salam more. And this is what is mentioned in the hadith of Hazrat Fatima alayhi salam. This is what we learn in the light of the hadith of Hazrat Fatima alayhi salam, when in the lullaby, she said, Lasta shabihan bin Nabi, anta shabihun bi Ali. Hazrat Fatima said to Imam Hussein alayhi salam, you're not similar, you're not resembling to the Prophet, you're resembling to Ali. So Imam Hassan was mushabih in his appearance with the face of Rasulullah, and with Rasulullah, whereas Imam Hussein, according to the hadith of Fatima al-Zahra salamullah alayha, was mushabih towards Imam Ali. So Imam Hassan is resembling towards the Prophet, and likewise Ali ibn al-Akbar alayhi salam is also very resembling to the Holy Prophet from every aspect. But the most resembling person is definitely the Imam of our time. Because the zirah, the dir, the body armor of Rasulullah was, according to some narrations, it never fitted on the body of any of the Imams. It only was fit on the body of Imam Sahibul Zaman Waliyul Asr alayhi salatu wa salam.
Please move up, ladies,
whatever.
Please, can you just move up?
Sallu
ala Muhammad
wa ala
Muhammad.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad. Please say another salawat.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad.
So we find that although the Imam of our time has resemblance with the previous prophets as well from different aspects of his life, he is resembling towards Prophet Ibrahim, isn't it right? He is also resembling with Prophet Musa alayhi salam, is also resembling towards Prophet Isa alayhi salam and towards Prophet Yusuf alayhi salam. But that's from various aspects of his personality. The resemblance with Prophet Musa is about the khifa'ul wilada. That means he is born in a hidden way, just like Prophet Musa was born hidden from the rest. Pharaoh was killing every single baby that was born. Isn't it right? So when Allah wants to protect somebody, no one can harm. When Allah wants to harm someone, no one can protect. Our naf and darar, our harm and benefit, we must believe that our harm and benefit is in the hands of none but Allah. So we find similarly, Imam Sahib al-Zaman alayhi salam had the similar resemblance, khifa'ul wilada. You know, this Banu Abbas have been selling women spies in the house of Imam al-Askari alayhi salam to find out whether Nargis Khatun salamullah alayha was pregnant with him or not. But till the final moments, just close to the final moments, there was no sign of pregnancy at all. So this is how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when He wants to protect, He has His own ways. Isn't it right? This is the resemblance that our Imam has with Prophet Musa alayhi salam. The resemblance that he has towards Prophet Yusuf alayhi salam is that his brothers used to see him but failed to recognize him, that this is our brother Yusuf. He came on and off, they came on and off so many times. And they are seeing the brother with their eyes, but they still fail to recognize, this is our brother. This is exactly the situation of the Imam of our time. When he would appear, people would say, I saw him there. Well, I saw him there. Because obviously he is not hiding somewhere. He is living on the same planet with the community. People see him, but they fail to recognize he's the Imam. Why? Because we don't have the ma'rifat. Those who have the ma'rifat, the in-depth recognition, they also see plus recognize him. Isn't it right? So this is how he resembles with Prophet Yusuf alayhi salam. So yara in sahiba hadha al-amr, yarahum wa ya'rifuhum. He sees the people and recognizes the people. And yaraunahu وَلَا يَعْرِفُونَهُ, whereas the people see him but don't recognize him. So he's not hidden somewhere like some people have, you know, falsely faking the situation. Some people have falsely, you know, mentioned about Jaziratun Khadra. There's some sort of green island where Imam alayhi salam is residing. There's no Jaziratun Khadra. It's a fake narration. It's completely 100% fake. Ayatullah al-Uzma Bahjat rahmatullah alayh had said, what is the root of this? Every fake narration has some reason. Where did it come from? It came from the Fatimi rulers living in Egypt. One of those Sayyid, they were Sayyids. One of those Sayyid-e-Fatimi took his residence in one of those islands close to Egypt. And because of that, it came and penetrated into our books that Sayyid-e-Fatimi refers to Imam Sahibul Zaman alayhi salam, and his residence is somewhere on earth, which is a green island. And not just that much, but someone actually tried to apply that phenomena over Greenland. This Greenland is where Imam Sahibul Zaman lives. And someone tried to apply it over the Bermuda Triangle, isn't it right? How far the fake things go, and they keep on spreading. Isn't it right? So we definitely encourage our community, when you hear some hadith from an alim, please ask the alim, please let us know the reference of the citation of the reference. That's how we can stop. This is how you can stop. How else would you stop? Isn't it right? You should ask from the scholars, can you please give us the reference of what you have said? So at least he would think twice next time narrating something which is 100% fake and ascribing it to the Imam of the time, which is obviously a tuhmat. If you say it during your fasting, you have to pay triple penalties. If you say during your fasting that Imam Sahib al-Zaman resides in Jaziratun Khadra, the Green Island, you have to pay 3 penalties. 60 fastings, 31 without gap, 21 can be with gaps, and 60 feeding of the poor, miskeen, mu'min people, plus setting free a slave, plus the qadha of one fast in place of the one missed, and plus the istighfar. Please say salawat. But this is a tuhmat over the ma'soom. Doing tuhmat and slander towards Allah or the Messenger or any of the prophets or the imams, you know, earns that kind of penalty in fasting. This is what we are supposed to do 24/7, 365, not just Ramadan. We should need to avoid the slander anytime, isn't it right? So Imam alayhi salatu wasalam is the mazhar of every attribute of Allah in the Hadithul Lawh. Hadithul Lawh is such a beautiful hadith. That's not my subject of speech to talk about Hadithul Lawh, but this is a beautiful hadith, although every hadith is equally beautiful, which is narrated from Sayyida Fatimatu Zahra salamullah alayha. And the Ravi and narrator is Jabir ibn Abdullah al-Ansari, who is a siqa and authentic. And in that also, she refers to Imam Sahib al-Zaman alayhi salam as rahmat and mercy towards the alameen. Not just towards the Shia for the alameen. And this is perfectly true because he is the madhar. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, isn't it right? He is the Rabbul Alameen. And Rasulullah is the rahmatan lil alameen. وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَاكَ إِلَّا رَحْمَةً لِلْعَالَمِينَ. We haven't sent you except as a mercy towards all the dwellers of all the worlds. We believe in several worlds, not just the world of humanity. There are so many worlds that we believe in. And all the dwellers of all the worlds received the rahmat from the Holy Prophet. This is what we learn in the light of the verse. So Imam Sahib al-Zaman al-Islam has said in his statement that Ana rahmatu rabbikum, Ana tilka rahma, I am that rahmat. The rahmat that we keep on seeking from Allah, may Allah provide his rahmat. What's the rahmat? You need to get the connection with the Imam of the time and he has lutf over you. This is how you get the rahmat of Allah. Without having a connection with the Imam of your time, forget about receiving any rahmat of Allah. Allah sends every ni'mat to his hujjat and khalifa, his vicegerent. And through him, he being the closest to Allah, it makes sense, every ni'mat gets distributed to the entire universe, not just the humans, entire universe. The insects, the fishes, the birds, the animals, the plantations, isn't it right? The lakes and the rivers and the mountains and the, you know, you name it. And the angels, everything receives the blessings through the Imam of the time, according to what it deserves. Because Allah gives the blessing according to what we deserve. Please say salawat. So this is how we need to keep in mind that he is the mazhar of the rahmat of Allah. In the hadith of Imam al-Ridha alayhi salatu wassalam, also it is there al-imam al-ameen al-rafiq wal-walid al-shafiq wal-akh al-shafiq wa kal-umr al-umil barra bil-walad al-saghir. Just like a merciful father, just like a merciful brother, merciful father, merciful brother, just like a loving mother towards the child. How much a mother loves her child? Imam alayhi salam loves us more than what a mother could ever love. More than a loving mother could ever love. So it's pathetic that we still don't have a place of remembrance, a place in our lives
to remember the Imam. His remembrance must have a place in our life. In 24 hours of our day and night, we need to have some time for him. We need to have all the time for him, actually. So we find that Imam never forgets. And this is what he mentions in his letter towards Shaykh al-Mufid, rahmatullahi alayhi. Shaykh al-Mufid, great scholar, isn't it right? And approximately, I think, I'm not that precise in that date, but probably approximately 1200 years ago, a very great scholar of ours. He is the teacher of Sayyid Radhi and Sayyid Murtada Alamul Huda. Sayyid Radhi is the one who compiled the Nahj al-Balagha, isn't it right? And Sayyid Murtada Alamul Huda was the marji, who became a marji later on. So Sayyid Shaykh al-Mufid sees in his dream Hazrat Fatima al-Zahra salamu alayha. Allahumma salli. The dreams of Salihin are not ordinary. They're unlike us, they're unlike sinners. Our dreams are also, we see the things about sinning inside the dreams, isn't it right? So we find we end up having ghusl wajib on us some of the occasions, whereas the Salihin never ever have that situation happening to them, isn't it right? Their dreams are tayyib and clean. This depends on our taharat. The more taharat you gain in your daytime, the same situation you will face in your night time. When some of the ashab used to come in front of Rasulullah, Prophet asked, "Hal min mubashirat?" That means, did you see some nice dreams which can be interpreted in, you know, to be a basharat and glad tidings in your favor? So that's what our scholars say in Islam. We sleep to learn some of the manaviyat from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's the way, that's how we sleep. We don't sleep for other reasons. The prime reason for our sleep is to receive some ma'navi blessings from Allah. Prophet said, "Hal min mubashirat?" So this is about those who have taharat in the daytime. They will end up having that sort of clean dreams. So Shaykh Mufid is one of the very great personalities, and you would learn from this narration when I move forward. And he sees in his dream the leader of all the ladies, and she is coming with Imam Hassan and Imam Hussein with her, and she says, "Ya Shaykh, allimhum al-fiqh." Shaykh in Arabic has several meanings. One of the meanings is a teacher. So teach them fiqh. Shaykh Mufid was shocked. The dream, who am I to teach Imam Hassan and Imam Hussein? Who am I? And he woke up, and on the next day in that morning, he finds that this lady, the mother of Sayyid Radhi, who composed Nahj al-Balagha later on, and Sayyid Murtada Alamul Huda, their mother is arriving at the door of Shaykh Mufid, and she is arriving, coming with both of her children and saying exactly the same sentence, "Ya Shaykh, allimhum al-fiqh," teach them the fiqh. So Shaykh Mufid understands that that's the interpretation of the dream. It's my obligation to teach these two children. Isn't it right? This is Shaykh al-Mufid. So now, when he was the marji in those days, and he receives the letter from Imam Sahib al-Zaman alayhi salam, and in the letter of the Imam, Imam has mentioned in the beginning of the letter, "Lil akhis sadid wal waliyir rashid al-Shaykh al-Mufid." That means this letter is addressed towards Lil Akhis Sadid, my brother. He's calling him brother. Imam Sahib al-Zaman is calling him Shaykh Mufid as his brother. A very strong relation, strongly tied brother. Well, Waliyur Rashid, that means someone, a beloved person with that rushd. I keep on saying in my speeches that they are elderly people in communities who may be 70 years old, 80 years old, but they don't have the rushdun aqli and rushdun shar'i. They don't have the mental growth. They behave like children. And there are some children who believe like elders because they have rushdun aqli. They understood the Islamic values in their early age, and they are behaving like elders. And Prophet has already said in his hadith, خَيْرُ شَبَابِكُمْ مَنْ تَشَبَّهَ بِكُهُولِكُمْ. The best of your youth are the ones who are mushabih and resembling towards your elders. وَشَرُّ كُهُولِكُمْ. And the worst of your elders, مَنْ تَشَبَّهَ بِشَبَابِكُمْ, who are resembling towards your youth. 70 years old guy behaving like a 15 year old child and engaged in lahav and la'ib, doesn't know how to pay khums, doesn't know the rulings of the sharia, isn't it right? You're supposed to be done with all these things by now, isn't it right? You're supposed to be teaching these things to your grandchildren by now. So Shaykh al-Mufid al-Waliyur Rashid, isn't it? Ash-Shaykh al-Mufid. This statement of Imam Mahdi alayhi salam is a documented evidence for the azamat and highness of Shaykh al-Mufid rahmatullahi alayhi wa salamullah alayhi. And in that letter, Imam alayhi salam has said, "Inna ghayru muhmilina li mura'atikum." We don't ignore taking care of you. "Wala nasina li dhikrikum." And nor did we forget your remembrance. So the remembrance of the community, Imam never forgets the community, never forgets his followers, you know, and did not forget his followers. And he, you know, he did not stop doing, taking care of the community. Please say salawat.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
Levels of people are different. Some people are remembered by their name, by the Imam, because they deserve it. They deserve that kind of remembrance. Imam remembers them by name. Now, if somebody says to you that, you know, this and this mujtahid or marje, he sent salam for you by name, how much happy would you be?
So he remembered me by name, isn't that right?
This shows the level of closeness the person has towards the Imam, that Imam is remembering him by his name. Some people are that close to the Imam. This guy, there was a person who recited Ziyarat of Ashura for 40 days so that he can end up seeing the Imam. And finally, he discovered that, well, Imam appeared, such and such place. He rushed to that place, saw the Noor coming from there, and he found the Imam is there. And Imam said to him, you know, why are you bothering yourself with this kind of thing? Do the ita'at. Do obedience towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in other words. We would come to you ourselves. Imam alayhi salam himself comes to the believers if we deserve it, in other words. And he said, the reason why I showed up here is this, the tashiyul janaza of this lady. There was a lady passing away, and it was her funeral, isn't it right? And who was this lady? This is the lady who, you know, didn't come out for 7 years from her house. Because when the father of Shah, la'natullahi alayh, put a ban on wearing hijab, and Raza Khan, just like Ataturk did the same thing in Turkey, isn't it right? So the father of Shah did the same.
If the religion was left up to us, the sinners, we would have been staying silent. These things make you recall the azmat of Imam al-Khomeini, that he had the guts and courage to stand up like a man in front of the zulm. If this Islam was left up to us, we would have been sitting and praying Subhanallah, Subhanallah and Sakit, and thinking that we are very nice mu'mineen. And the agenda of zulm would have been continuing and continuing. Isn't that right? And they were snatching the veils of the woman walking on the streets. And because Raza Khan, you know, was snatching the veils of the women who were walking in the streets, this woman didn't want to bare herself and come out in front of non-mahram people. So she stayed in her house for 7 years.
You don't have to read Ziyarat of Ashura necessarily. It's very good to read it. But what I'm saying is that
you don't have to worry about me, how can I go and see the Imam? No, if we purify ourselves, Imam will himself come to you. That's what Imam said to this person. We would come to you, in other words. Do the ta'at of Allah.
Imam comes to the funeral of this lady himself, without the lady asking. You know, the narration does not tell if she asked. Maybe she did. We don't know. So we find that this is how it works. So Imam alayhi salam is there. And now we find that what I was saying to you is that some of the personalities are that close that Imam remembers them by name. Ayatullah al-Uzma Baha'uddini, a great arif of ours. People used to feel afraid in front of going in front of him because he tells everything about you. He can tell you which sin you have done today, which sin you did 10 years ago, isn't it right? So people are afraid to go in front of the Urafa. I wish that our people, our community were doing the taqleed of the Arif Mujtahids, Jamu Shara'it Arif Mujtahids only. I wish our destinies would change forever, for good. So he came back from Makkah and he said to a scholar, a very great person, that I was in a gathering in Makkah where Imam Sahib al-Zaman Islam was present, and the certain names of certain people were being mentioned. So Imam alayhi salam was mentioning some people by their names. Look at how close some people are. Even there, those people are living far, far away, but Imam is not, you know, ignoring them or forgetting them. He never forgets nothing. Imam is remembering them. And this person comes back and he goes to the person who was mentioned by the Imam, Sheikh Fakhr Tehrani. This is a poor guy. He owned a shop of, he used to stitch the abba for the people. Poor guy living in a poor slum district, this very simple house. And Imam remembered him by his name. And now who is this person? This person is the same person which the scholars say when the Shah of Iran usurped certain lands from the people and there were fields of wheat grown over that land. This person stopped eating the bread of wheat which is grown in that fields and sold in the bakeries, the bread which is sold and the wheat is coming from those fields. He stopped eating the bread from those fields because it is all ghasb and usurped, ghasbi. How many people are that much muhtat in their behavior, in their foods? No one can reach any level of taharat without the rizqun halal, proper rizqun halal. And when someone came and told him, there are people, if you tell them that Imam did this for you, they may become mutakabbir or ujb, khudpasandi, end up becoming, you know, I have in my mind to talk about ujb as well in one of my upcoming speeches, inshallah. So ujb and khudpasandi, you know, considering themselves to be so good, ignoring our faults. But the saliheen are not like this. They keep on focusing on their faults and keep on improving their personality. Don't end up becoming having this spiritual illness of ujb and khudpasandi, you know, praising your own self and ignoring your own faults. And he says, this person, Sheikh Fakhr, he said that, you know, why my Imam loves me? Because I have an elderly mother. And I am the one who take care of everything of my mother, starting from her cleaning, to her feeding. I make pieces of bread and I personally feed my mother one by one, taking care of everything of hers. How many children are like this towards their parents? Your elderly mother has been moved from one brother's house to the other brother's house, just like a football, transferring your mom like a football. What does that show? Did you realize there the respect of your father or mother? Isn't it right? So we find that respect of the mother, respect of the father, you know, ihsan bil walidain, this is very key for the closeness towards the Imam. So some people are remembered by the name, and there are some people for whom Imam alayhi salam himself
you know, shakes hand and hugs them. Like whom? Several stories. I'm just mentioning just few of them because Ayatollah al-Uzma Bahjat rahmatullah alayh had said that we need to tell the stories of the meeting of people with the Imam of the time so our youth realize that it is possible to meet with the Imam. And they strive to purify their souls. In other words, so this is what, so we find that, you know, in the story of Haj Ali Baghdadi. Haj Ali Baghdadi, and that story is mentioned in Mafatihul Jinan. Please say salawat.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
Haj Ali Baghdadi is a very pious mu'min, belongs to Baghdad. And on his way, he's going to see his marji, right? And to give the khums to his marji. On his way, he meets with Imam Sahib al-Zaman alayhi salam. All of a sudden, Imam is the one who extends his hand towards him. Isn't right? In Islam, it is the right etiquette and adab that we extend our hand. We initiate in musafaha. The hadith tells us that the more sawab, the two people are shaking hand with each other, who gets the most sawab? In the light of the hadith, we learn the one who takes the hand away gets the lesser sawab, and one who doesn't take his hand away ahead of the other person gets the most sawab of musafaha. So we should not make haste in taking our hand quickly away. There are some people, you shake hand with them, they just give you four fingers like this, little bit, as if they don't even want to shake hand with you. This is against Islamic adab and etiquettes. These are very small things, but this is how you find how much we learn the Islamic morality. Isn't it right? So Imam alayhi salam is the one who initiates he said the salam, just like his grandfather Rasulullah used to initiate the salam, even towards the kids. You know, we are people who learn a little bit of their knowledge and they start thinking, I'm so big. Everyone else is now supposed to say salam to me. I'm so big. The one who thinks I'm so big is really a lowly person. Rasulullah used to say salam even to the children. And Imam alayhi salam says salam to Haj Ali Baghdadi rahmatullah alayhi and gives his hand and hugs him, ahlan wa sahlan. Welcomes him. When someone asks Ayatullah al-Uzma Sayyid Mahdi Tabatabai Bahrul Uloom, the scholars are so many, why are you different from others? And the scholars are so many, it's so true. There are so many scholars out there, isn't it right? There are very few who practice their knowledge. Why are you different from others? He said, because one day in the Masjid of Kufa, I was present and the Imam of my time, he hugged me in the Masjid and the noor of ulum and knowledges were transferred with ishraq, with the flash of the lightning into my chest. This is the reason he provides himself. And why is he different from the rest of the scholars? Ayatullah al-Uzma Sayyid Mahdi Tabatabai Bahrulun. Please say salawat. So it's our job, brothers and sisters, to keep away from the luqmatul haram, tend to respect our parents, and if we want to get the close spot with the Imam. One person was complaining, and I'm coming close to the end of my speech. One person was complaining. He sent a message to that Imam Sahib al-Zaman alayhi salam doesn't take care of me. Now, someone who met with the Imam brings the message back for that person that when you were young, you became sick. And your mother went on the rooftop and she did tawassul. She said, Al mustaghatho bika ya sahib al zaman, seeking help from the Imam. So I was the one who provided the shifa and cure, Imam says at that time.
when your mother went on the rooftop and seek my help for your shifa and you were a kid, I was the one who provided help to you. Remember at that time when you were driving on such and such road and your car was about to get tilted and get fallen into the valley, all of a sudden your steering wheel was moved towards the other side. I was the one who moved the steering wheel to protect you. And this person realizes the response from the imam and he started to cry. So we're not supposed to, you know, say things, think twice before you say something. Is that right? Like this person, Imam Sadiq al-Islam is sending the help for a mu'min and it says to this person, don't tell him that this help is from me. He goes towards the mu'min, poor person in Medina, and gives this help to him. He didn't say that it's from the imam because the imam stopped him. And that guy was complaining, what kind of person, what kind of imam is Imam Jafar al-Sadiq al-Islam? He's not even taking care of his followers. And this help is being provided is the one which is provided by the imam. This is how some people are. They don't realize what kinds of help and what sorts of ni'mats and blessings which we are constantly receiving from the imam. That hajat of yours must not be fulfilled. Don't think on those lines. I have this hajat and it never got fulfilled. No, it should not be fulfilled. That hajat should not be fulfilled. You should thank Allah that hajat was not fulfilled. Maybe some of the hajat, if get fulfilled, we become arrogant. Maybe we lose our iman after that. Maybe we lose our values after that. He knows better which hajat of yours need to be fulfilled. Isn't it right? So we find that we need to have attachment with the walayat of Ahlul Bayt alayhim as-salam. If that attachment was there, you would not find these troubles taking place with Muhammad and Ibrahim, the children of Muslim ibn Aqil. Salamullahi alayhima. Muhammad Ibrahim, two children, two yatim and orphan children of Muslim ibn Aqil, living in the prison of Ibn Ziyad, and the caretaker and guardian of the prison is a Shia. Can you imagine? Can you imagine how some people can be? Hey, you are working, you know, if a person is working for the Tahut, unless if you provide support for Ahlul Bayt, then it's okay. Isn't it right? So Muhammad and Ibrahim are two children. If 1 year has passed by from the Shahadat of Muslim ibn Aqil, and these two orphan children are inside the prison. And we find one day, one of those two says to the other brother, why don't we introduce ourselves to this guardian of the prison? Maybe, you know, we can get out, in other words. So one of them says to the guardian, do you know Rasulullah? He said, I am a Muslim. He is my prophet. He said, what about Imam Ali? Do you know Imam Ali, Ali ibn Abi Talib? He said, yeah, he's my first imam. He says, do you know Hassan al-Mushtaba, Hassan ibn Ali alayhi wasalam, which I am paraphrasing these narrations in my words. He said, yeah, he's my second imam, second mawla. He says, do you know Hussein ibn Ali? He said, yeah, they did a lot of zulm on Hussein. They slaughtered him thirsty. He said, do you know Muslim ibn Aqil? Yeah, he's the brother of Hussein. They killed him in ghurbat, in loneliness. I know him very well. He said, we are the children of Muslim ibn Aqil. Children of Muslim ibn Aqil in the prison. As soon as he learned that, he was shocked. He said, why didn't you tell me earlier? How can a person reply to Rasulullah? Can you imagine? How in the world can you respond to Rasulullah tomorrow that you are holding the children of Ahlul Bayt in the prison? And we find this man, this poor man who is the guardian of the prison, obviously he had the love of Ahlul Bayt. He said, wait for the time when the night comes. When the night came, he gave them some bread and some water and opened the door of the prison. opened the door of the prison for the children of Ahlul Bayt. The children went out. Obviously, they walked a distance, but Kufa is a stranger city for them. They're not familiar with the directions. How far can they go? And some of the narrations tell us that their feet were already swollen because they were kept in a prison which was damp with water. And you were living in a damp area, you get your feet swollen some of the times. So it was impossible for the children to walk a farther distance. And finally, they came to a place next to some river and they climbed the tree to protect their lives. And the servant of the wife of Haris ibn Ash'as, la'anatullahi alayhima, such a great and evil khabis person. His daughter Jota is the one who poisons Imam Hassan alayhi salam, and his son Haris is the one who kills these two children, Muhammad Ibrahim, shajaratun khabisa, the evil tree of Ash'as. Every munafiqat and every evil plan of Kufa against Imam Ali alayhi salam initiated from the house of Haris. This is the profile of Haris. So his son Ash'as. This is the profile of Ash'as, and his son is Haris. And his servant, this female servant of his wife, comes to the river to get some water, and she sees the mirror images of two children in water. She looks up and see they got scared. They are little children. They got scared. Somebody's gonna capture us now, isn't it right? And you know, who are you? And they said, if you don't kill us, if you secure us, if you provide security, we will introduce ourselves. And you know, they said, we are the children of Muslim ibn Aqil. Obviously, there was a hunt going on from Ibn Ziyad. Whoever can find the kids of Muslim will get a reward. The most wanted list. So she says, my, you know, master, the wife of Ash'as, my master, that woman is a Shia. I will take you to her. She took the kids to that lady, the wife of Ash'as, who was a Shia. She respected the children. Obviously, she was a follower of Ahlul Bayt. She gave them a room to rest. They gave them the food, gave them a room to relax in the room. And they slept after such a long time. They slept in a relaxed way. All of a sudden, her husband enters into the room. Ash'as, Haris ibn al-Ash'as enters the room, and both of the children woke up, and both of them saw the same dream, and both of them narrated the same dream to each other. You know, they saw the Holy Prophet talking to Hazrat Muslim alayhi wasalam, wa alayhi wasalam. Prophet says to Hazrat Muslim, you came but you left your orphan children? And Hazrat Muslim replies back, they're going to be with us tomorrow. They will be my guests. So they saw the dream and they woke up. It's now the morning time. And now this Haris guy, he comes in. He hears some sort of noise in the room. He walks into the room and he finds there are two children. And obviously he finds out that they are the children of Muslim. That's what he was hunting for. He ties up the hands of both the kids and takes them to the river so he can slaughter. And he first asks his own son to slaughter them. His son refuses. I don't want to involve my hand in the blood of, you know, in these mazloom, in other words, these children of Ahlul Bayt. And then he asks his slave to slaughter them. And the slave cannot respond. So he dives into the river to flood away from the master. So he doesn't end up killing the children of Ahlul Bayt. And finally, he takes the sword out himself and he comes to slaughter the younger child first, the elder child first, and the younger one rushes towards him. No, I cannot. I know, he says, I cannot stand seeing my elder brother slaughtered in front of him. Kill me first. What a zulm. And we find he comes to the younger. It's the younger one first, then to kill the younger one, and the elder one says, don't do that, because when I came out of Medina, when I stepped out of Medina, my mom gave the younger brother to me. My mom gave the younger brother to me, so I'm the caretaker of my younger brother. How can he tolerate his younger brother when his mom entrusted him to take care of him? So this guy comes to the elder one again, and he slaughters the elder one. And the narration says the younger one rushes towards that, and he picks the blood, takes the blood, and rubs over his face, over his head. Assalamu alaikum ya Rabbi.
Ala la'natullah ala al-qawm al-zalimeen. وَسَيَعْلَمُ الَّذِينَ ظَلَمُوا أَيَّ مُنْقَلَبٍ يَنْقَلِبُونَ إِنَّا لِلَّهِ وَإِنَّا إِلَيْهِ رَاجِعُونَ إِلَهِي بِحَقِّ الزَّهْرَى وَأَبِيهَا وَبَعْلِهَا وَبَنِيهَا وَالسِّرِّ الْمُسْتَوْدَعِ فِيهَا اللهم انصر الإسلام والمسلمين واخذل الكفار والمنافقين اللهم انصر من نصر الدين واخذل من خذل المسلمين اللهم انصر واحفظ وأيد علماءنا الربانيين ومراجعنا الربانيين لا سيما الولي الفقيه قائد المسلمين اللهم انصر جيوش المسلمين وعساكر الموحدين اللهم فك عن الأسراء المسلمين اللهم وفقنا لما تحب وترضى وعجل في فرج مولانا صاحب الزمان واجعلنا من أنصاره وأشياعه وأتباعه وأعوانه بجاه محمد وآله الطاهرين. Let's read the Ayatul Kareema 5 times for all the mu'mineen, especially those who sponsored these majalis, provide the tabarruk and food for the majalis, served in any way for the majalis al-aza. So, and all the mustad'afeen and mahrumeen and mazloomeen, especially the families of shuhada, especially those who are defending the haram of Sayyidah Zainab sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. A'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajim. Amman yujibul muhtarra idha da'ahu wa yakshifu as-su'. Amman yujibul muhtarra idha da'ahu wa yakshifu as-su'. Amman yujibul muhtarra idha da'ahu wa yakshifu as-su'. Amman yujibul مضطر إذا دعاه ويكشف السوء أمن يجيب المضطر إذا دعاه ويكشف السوء يا حسين يا حسين يا حسين يا حسين